Just want to start off and thank Mr. Quillen for asking me, and it is a great joy to be able to stand here and give a testimony tonight, and I just thank God for saving my soul, and I just want to pray, so just bow our heads. Dear Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, that we are here tonight, Lord God. We just thank you, Father God, for being with us. And Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us here tonight, Lord. And Lord, as I stand here and testify, Lord, I just open my mouth, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, to fill it with the words you want me to say. And just be with us all here and open hearts here tonight to hear your word, Lord, and open ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, two wee verses, you all know, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 is very popular to everybody, so I'm just going to read them out. For by grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, as you all know, my name's Grace Quinn, married to Richard, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I was saved when I was 6 years old, but I was sent along to Sunday school every Sunday and church every Sunday as well, morning and night. And we went to a brethren Sunday school in the afternoon as well. And any meeting going, we were at it in the countryside. I think Mum and Dad just wanted to get rid of us, I don't know, but we were sent along anyhow. So, as I say, I got saved when I was 6 years old at a holiday Bible club in my own church. Time went on, and went to primary school and high school. And as a young Christian, saving your child, it was easy to be a Christian at that stage. And but anyhow, I went up into high school and things didn't really change for me at that stage. My dad's cousin was killed when I was in second year at high school, and he was only 32 and his wee girl was 7, and this had a big impact in my life, but I didn't realise it at the time. And it was a very hard thing to accept that God had let this happen, and I got very angry towards God that these people were killed. And he left three children at home, and it was just very hurting to me. But anyhow, I started to grow cold towards God at that stage, and I didn't go out into the world. I didn't do anything I shouldn't be doing. I just didn't read my Bible as a Christian. A Christian should be reading their Bible, spending time with God, and doing work for God. And I didn't. I was just sitting there, basically on a fence, not doing anything for God, and it got extremely cold. This went on through high school. I was probably easier to hide when you're at high school, because it is tougher to be a Christian in high school when your friends are going out clubbing. And I only had a few Christian, there was only two Christian girls in my class. But it was just easier to say nothing and get on with it. So I went into tech and studied hairdressing and beauty. And after that there, I left tech and still was cold towards God. Didn't really have a desire to do anything for God, is what a Christian should be having. So our church in Margaret Hill Elam decided to have Startup Youth Fellowship, and this was great because there was something to do for young ones in the church. So I went along on a Friday night. It was on every other Friday night, and I started going along to it, and there I realized that I was just a Christian sitting on a fence doing nothing for God, and I should have been out doing, serving God and doing work for him. I was a cold Christian, not doing work that I should be doing for God. I realized this when I was 18, when I realized this, and I said, right, that's it, I need to give my life all over to God. So I surrendered my whole life to the Lord, and God changed my life from there on in. And that's when I really said that I took my stand for Jesus Christ, and I made a change in my life. I got involved in different things in my church. I took part in the campaigners, was a leader in it. I started doing outreach in the church with the church ones, and different wee things that was on. After that there, I was getting on really well with God, and I started meeting Christian friends, and I was invited down to a youth meeting in Monaghan one night, Crossroads, and that's when I started going there. When my own youth wasn't on, I started going down to Crossroads in Monaghan, and I met lots of other Christian friends there, and that's how I met this gang that's here tonight as well, through Crossroads. So it was nice, like, to meet other Christian friends, because it's important to have Christian friends as a young teenager, because you can be easily led into the world very, very handy. But anyhow, down at Crossroads, they had an outreach team, went out on a Saturday night doing outreach. And of course, I says, right, sure, we'll get involved in this too. Anything was going, was just looking to do it. But that was my desire at that time. I was just looking. I was hungry for God's word. I was hungry to do things for God. So I went out, and got involved in the outreach on the streets on a Saturday night, and just went out with the group and got to know people. And it was challenging. It really was. Like, I was only 20 or 21 at this stage, and it was life changing for me. But it was the best thing for me to get out and do work for God. Well, as I said at the start, I've done hairdressing and beauty. I studied it. I became a full-time beauty therapist, and I was a few jobs in Armagh and different things, and I started witnessing to clients and telling them about God and trying to give CDs out and invite people everywhere. But my boss was getting very cross with me for doing this, and I was getting no opportunity. It was always shut down every time, and I just felt God wasn't allowing me, or this wasn't the place for me, and I was very unhappy in my job, so I was, and my boss was sick as well, and she wasn't making it easy for me. So I decided to move jobs, and that job was just another one, and same again. Just I wasn't allowed to witness to people, and this was really hurting me, because I really wanted to go on with God and witness to people. And I believe that this God called me into this job, because I speak to people one by one, and I have such an opportunity to talk to people, and I wasn't going to miss this opportunity. So I decided, prayed about it, and the Lord led me out on my own. 6 years passed there, and coming into the 7th year now, and God has blessed me in my own business, and it really has. It's been a blessing, and I have got so many opportunities to witness to people, to give them CDs, to pray with clients, and most of my clients were Roman Catholics. And the amount of conversations I have with them, it's unreal. And I've been able to give them CDs and pray with them as well. And just even go into the home and sit and talk to them for a while. And they just be so like blessed by that as well. But God has really opened doors there for me and gave me many, many opportunities, which has been brilliant. I was just, I think it was just the first year or before I went out on my own, I went to Canada to do a faith mission camp. And over there was very challenging. Now, I thought here doing street work was hard enough, but no, it was a lot harder. Now, we went to the camps I only went for 2 weeks. You could go all summer if you wanted, but I just went for 2 weeks on the summertime. And there we were challenged with young children with broken homes, didn't know who their father or mother was. They were in foster care. They were adopted, their fathers were in prison, some of them, and there was a couple of girls that lived on the streets that didn't have anything that we had back here, and it just broke your heart coming into that. But God really moved in them 2 weeks and moved in my life and humbled me a lot more as well. And things, like we were really put on the spot for different situations. I had never taken a meeting before in my life, and we had to do devotions every morning with them, and there was 5 in my group the first time, and I had, I think there were 8, 9, and 10-year-olds, 8 to 10, and I tell you, they asked you some questions, was unreal, and I really had to study my Bible at night to find these answers for them the next day, but it was good now, and it challenged me as well. So we got to do different wee things, take part in memory verses, singing to them, as I say, at the take a meeting, and it was very challenging as us as well, because the first devotion was at 9 o'clock in the morning, but we had to get up at 6 o'clock that morning for a prayer meeting. So we had an hour's prayer meeting from 6 to 7, and then we had breakfast for ourselves, and then we had a time of prayer for ourselves to prepare for devotion, and then we had to get their breakfast ready for before them as well, and then devotions were 9 o'clock. So your day started off at 5:30 in the morning, and it was go, go, go the whole day, and you weren't getting to bed that late, if you even got to bed. Some mornings some nights you come down, and where I was staying, I was in the basement, and we were right beside the kitchen, and one night I was like, what is that racket? Some of the guys had snuck out and started doing frisbees with the plates, so it was challenging to get them all back in and keep them calm and good, but God really worked in my life that time as well, and just got me through it. As I say, I never had done this before, so it was very good. So it didn't scare me. I went back. I went in July, and then I went back again in the January for another 2 weeks in the winter. And it was brilliant as well. Now, we work with the older kids, teenagers. Now, that was a lot harder. But as I say, God was very good and kept us all safe and sound. And we got through that as well. A friend of ours, Diane Dunwoody, was diagnosed with cancer in 2009 or 2008. And Dan was a friend of ours, and Dan was only 24 when she was diagnosed with cancer, and this was hard for us. But as a friendship group, we all stuck together and we got through it, and we were there for Diane the whole way through it. But a friend of mine and myself said, what can we do to help Diane? There was nothing medically we could do, but we could pray to God and ask God for help and strength. So we decided we would have a prayer meeting. We prayed about what we should do, and God laid on our hearts to start a prayer meeting for Diane, so, and for our family to help them through this time. So that was okay. We started a prayer meeting in Valley Yards every Saturday night, and God really opened doors and challenged us. The prayer meetings, can't even remember how long they went on for, maybe 2 years, but God really worked mighty in those prayer meetings. When we went into the prayer meeting, you felt God's presence there before we even went in, and if you didn't feel God's presence, there was something wrong with you in them meetings. So definitely you weren't in touch with God if you didn't feel it. But I tell you, there were mighty prayer meetings, and that's when I really was taught how to pray. There was young ones there was older ones, and I don't know what age the oldest man was, maybe 70 or 80, I don't know. But he taught us how to pray, and he taught us how to read our Bibles, and he challenged us all. And I think everyone that was at them couldn't have said they were hurt by any one way that you wouldn't have got touched by them. So their souls saved that we had prayed for. The prayer meetings went on, and Diane passed away in March 2009. And we prayed, we kept the prayer meetings going because they were such a blessing in our lives. And young ones like myself and other ones were being taught, and it really was brilliant. Like, we were being taught different things, and just, it was just really a blessing to be in them prayer meetings. So we started to pray for other souls as well. And I see one of the guys sitting here, Nigel. We prayed for him, and Nigel came through for the Lord, and many other friends as well. And God had really put people in our hearts, and we all brought souls every night for prayer. And believe it, God really did move in those meetings, and souls were saved. And we just praise the Lord for that, because it's only the power of prayer that God will speak to people, and God will move in their lives. In my own church, they started a prayer meeting or outreach in Banbridge, and I'd gone out to the clubs to do outreach outside them. So of course I was like, yeah, I'll go again. I was up for it again. I just loved the outreach. But mind you, it was hard. Now, it was, as I had never been in a club in my life, I'd never been out drinking or anything. I knew nothing about the world. And I did get my eyes open when I went out to do outreach. It was unreal. It was very challenging now out there, right at the edge of the pub, the clubs, when they were coming out drunk. But God helped us there and strengthened us. And when we were out on the streets, like, there was many a fight going on out around us, but God had his hand upon us. Like, you could actually feel God was just standing right beside you, like a guardian angel over you. It was just awesome feeling. You weren't afraid. God just really had his hand upon us out in the streets. So as when we realized then there was a few other groups had started out as well, so we all joined together and we had a prayer meeting. So I went from Bally Yard's prayer meeting to another prayer meeting on the street and then to outreach. So that was my Saturday nights doing that, and I loved every bit of it. And it was just God, really. It was my work for God, and I just was challenged by it, and I loved every bit of it. And we've seen souls coming through for God, and many a time it was a hard night, and with the leave ones home that were drunk and stuff, you felt sorry for them. But it was just God's way for us, what he wanted us to do for him. Also, on a Saturday, a group had started going down to Dublin to give tracks out and calendars. Now, that group still goes on now, but I wasn't able to keep up with it every Saturday. As I said, my own business, it's hard. But I did take time off for 3 or 4 months and went every other Saturday. And it was brilliant. Just the outreach in Dublin was so much easier than the outreach here in the north. It's just like when we were standing doing outreach in many different cases, the people up here were like throwing them back at you or ripping them up in your face. But down in Dublin, I found they were coming over to you, and they were just like, you were standing there, and next thing a group of people was over. What are you doing? What's this here? What are you handing out? And they were standing reading it right in front of you. They had a hunger for God. And it's the Roman Catholics, I do believe, have a hunger for God today. But it just shows you the difference is unreal. From up here to down there, like, the outreach was just, I loved it, I really did. It was so much easier. It was a doddle to do, but it just shows you the difference there, that they have a hunger for God. But yes, we went down to Dublin, and then Just before I had give it up, I just couldn't keep up with it. A few of the guys had went and got went out to do the homeless on the streets, and that was challenging now, but it was hard. Like, and we brought soup and we brought tea and sandwiches with us, and they always wanted money off us, but we were just like, no, we can't give you money, but we'll give you food. And we tried, I think Emma Jane had tried getting a guy into a hostel to try and help him and stuff, so we were trying to do that as well. So it was good in a way that we were able to work with them as well as the people on the streets. So after that, that May, I took sick. I took viral meningitis. And that stopped me, slowed me down on my feet for my outreach. But it was obviously God's way, and he had something else for me at that stage. I still did a wee bit what I could do, but I wasn't able to do the same outreach that I was doing. So I was kind of disheartened about that, but God had other plans. So I told it would take a couple of years to come out of my body, and but thank the Lord and praise God that he healed me after a couple of months and I was out and about. And it was actually only a month out of me owning my business when I took it, and it was just a hard time, but God blessed me and kept my business there for me, and I was back on my feet shortly after that. So God is awesome, and we just have to give him all the praise and glory. Shortly after that, I met Richard, and we were good friends for a wee while, and I was praying about him and he was praying about me, but we never said anything to each other, and we just kept praying. And one day Richard said to me, "I've been praying about something," and I said, "What's that?" And then he told me, and I goes, "Well, I've been praying as well," and we had both got the same word through two different things, and we believed that we were meant to be. So yes, got with Richard and married him a year later, or 2 years later. So in the meantime, yes, I was saying about the outreach, Richard, he's in a band, and I'm not really into band parades a lot. I wouldn't have a love for them, but I said, well, sure, I'll go along anyhow. And I always sat in the car and I was bored out of my mind, and I said, I have to find something to do. So I decided to do outreach when Richard was praying, and I would go and do outreach again. And I thank the Lord that I was able to do a bit each night, and not every weekend I was out, but I'd done as much as I could, and I was happy at that. I just didn't want to give it up completely. So yes, there is other ways you can do outreach. You can do an outreach by standing in your work. You can do outreach by in the streets, and just by going shopping, you can have a smile on your face that if somebody walks past you, you're like, oh, what's she smiling about? But we should have the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts every day, not just on a Sunday or not just in the prayer meeting night, but every day of our lives. And it is hard to be happy all the time, but we have to remember we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, and we have to give him all the thanks and praise for saving our souls. Richard and I got married, and I suffered a lot from migraines, and I had them 15 years, and I suffered a lot, and they were very bad. And I just, I was on a tablet that I couldn't, if I got pregnant, I had to come off this tablet. And the doctor said to me, you cannot get pregnant when you're on this tablet. And it was hard. Every time I came off this tablet, I couldn't suffer. I suffered migraines badly. I couldn't do without this tablet. So I knew I had to do something about it. So I went for prayer, and I thanked the Lord. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to heal me from my migraines, and God healed me. And I haven't had a migraine in 2 years, and I know God has touched me through that. So I came off the tablet. That was the last day I took my tablet, and I've never taken one since. And the Lord blessed me with two lovely wee boys, Charlie, as you can hear him racking there. He's a year and a half, and wee Bobby, he's just 7 weeks old tomorrow. So God has blessed me so many ways. Blessed me with a Christian family, blessed me with a Christian husband, and blessed me with Christian friends. And there's many stages in life that I thought I was so lonely. I had nobody. I had no Christian friends at one stage. God blessed me with so many. A few months later, when I gave my life all over to God, he blessed me so many ways. And I just challenge you here tonight as a Christian, if you're just sitting on a fence and you're cold towards God, get off it and do something about it, because don't sit that long, because you'll get no blessing for it. I went out. I was like that once, and I was unhappy. I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he made me so happy. And if you're not saved here tonight, just you remember that God loves you so much, and he sent his only begotten son to die on that cross for each and every one of us here. Doesn't matter what you are, who you are, anything. God sent his only son for everyone. And I just thank God that he has saved me. And I hope and trust that if you're not saved here tonight, you'll see God's love and you'll ask him into your lives. And that's really all I have to say. So, amen.